Invite you to turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 14. We looked at this book, this chapter in this book last Sunday, and we got started in it. And with the Lord's help, this afternoon we'll close out this particular chapter 14. And this chapter is dealing with things preferential or optional, I believe, things of life. We can't take this chapter and apply it just across the board. There have been those that look to and have tried to do so, and it's just not appropriate to do so. But there is a calling on the children of God for us to not serve ourselves, but to look to serve others. And that's not natural. We all want to serve ourselves naturally. But as an example of our Lord Jesus Christ, he came and he did what we needed done. And what we needed, not at our command, but he did willingly for us without even, if you will, our knowledge of that. He came and did the things necessary to save us. And he authored his word and he sent messengers with his word using his people to reach his people. That's the way the Lord has always done it. And so we as the children of God, as we grow up, and we need to grow up, we need to mature. We need to become, in that word that's used in the scriptures, perfect. And it's not the way you and I use perfect, but it is talking about maturity. We are not ever going to be sinlessly perfect because we got this old sinful body and mind. One day we will be when we get a new body and mind. And we'll be like Christ. And so we'll be without sin at that time. But now we have this old man, the new man, the struggle and the wrestle and the fight within. But we as the children of God, even though we have this old man that we're strapped to, the new man has this old man strapped on his back, if you will, we are called to be like our Savior. And that's what this chapter deals with that. It is really an element speaks about meekness, as we talked about last Sunday. And it also, as this Sunday, we've looked at temperance. It's going to take self-control to do this and yielding those things maybe that we would prefer. I'll read this introductory statement, and then we'll get into the chapter. This chapter deals with preference or optional things in our lives. It does not open the opportunity to willfully sin against our Lord, even if the child of God does not understand that a certain thing is sinful. We do indeed sin against our Lord ignorantly, but yet are guilty. And that is the reason we need to study the scriptures and learn what sin is, learn what righteousness is, so we will live a holy life while walking with our Savior. That's our game. That's our goal. That's our Lord is holy, and he calls us to be holy like him. We don't need to be afraid of that. We just need to pursue that and not worry about what the world says about it. Again, this chapter does not in any way make the doctrine and commandments of the scripture optional. Okay, understand that. You can't take this chapter and take something that our Lord has commanded and say, well, it's an optional thing. This has to do, again, with things preferential and optional in our lives, not the doctrine and command of our Lord. Let's go ahead and read down to where we'll pick it up at and make a few comments and then continue on. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. And so the weak are to be received. We all are weak in different ways, and we don't need to take them and torment them in their weakness, but we need to help the weak. That's the call that is here. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. You got a vegetable eater and a meat eater. And this goes beyond this, and maybe next Sunday I'll speak about it. There's some other references in the scripture talks about, I think, about this particular meat that's being eaten. I mean, this is the church at Rome, and there is Rome. Rome has a multitude of gods, just like the Greeks had a multitude of gods. I mean, understand, these are saw a reference of that in Ezekiel, that these are the ones that are used to their priests would sacrifice an animal before they would go to battle, or they'd have some great decision to be made before them, and they would take the liver of the animal and evaluate it as to what they're supposed to do. Okay? And so we may mention about some of those things that the scripture says regarding this, but there's one that eats meat and one that eats vegetables. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. The one that eateth the meat, don't let him despise the one that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not, the vegetarian, if you will, judge him that eateth the meat. For God hath received him. Okay? Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? And this judging, remember, this judging is from the aspect of meting out punishment, of meting out a separation from. You know, those that commit crimes in our society are separated from society. We're not to, we stand on what our Lord says is the truth, but it's not ours to persecute anybody or to punish them in any way. Again, the only point at which the church, we don't have any such thing as individuals to do so, but the church has responsibility over our members to deal with them when we get wayward. And so there is punishment that's inflicted there, but it's not physical. It's not incarceration. It's not a whipping or anything like that. And so, and that's what this is. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. It is the Lord that is our master. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. And so, don't be looking to inflict anything. Talking about that despising, okay? Or, as it said, judging in verse number 3. Judging, you have your opinion. You make a judgment in that. But then to take that and foist that upon another by separating yourself from them or by making the situation bad or shunning them or whatever, it's not to be. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Okay? And so there may be things that the Jews would hold to. I mentioned about that at the Passover. A Jew could yet observe the Passover today to remember how the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. But to the Gentile, it means nothing to us. Yet it is so that Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And it is true for us that when he sees the blood, has passed over us, hadn't he? And so there are things like that, but it's not talking about, you would say, well, I say you, one would say, well, you may not believe that Mardi Gras is sinful, or you may believe that Mardi Gras is sinful, but I don't. See, you can't do that with this. Because Mardi Gras is sinful. It's sinful in its origins and it's sinful in its practice. Okay, so understand that. We need to have understanding about that. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. You may not be all bothered about celebrating Independence Day. Well, you don't have to celebrate Independence Day. And if you say, well, you know, Independence Day really doesn't mean much to me. Okay, well, I may think that it's good to be patriotic and to celebrate Independence Day, but I'm not to afflict you over that. Okay? I may look to persuade you, but I'm not to shun you over that. Okay? And so, there is understanding about the application of this. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. We answer to the Lord. He that eateth, he eateth to the Lord, and for he giveth thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. Verse number 7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. We left off here after this verse last time, and there's a little bit more that I want to say right here. None of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Our lives certainly affect those around us. We can never say that our life is just an island to itself. It is not, and it will not be. Your life affects others around you. Your life affects your family. Your life affects your brothers and sisters in Christ, if you're a member of a church. Your life affects your society and your community. It just flat does. It can do so from a, it can be affected from a proactive or an outward thing, or it can be affected by you just not being there. If we live, we're here, we live, our family, church, community is affected by us being present or us not being there at all. It can be affected by things good that we do and things good that we pursue and represent, or by negative things that we do and pursue and represent. It can be affected by us not even being there at all. No person is an island. Our lives certainly affect those around us. In this context, the strong can hurt the weak. That's this context here. The strong can hurt the weak. And what's the strong to do? Hurt the weak? Never. Never to hurt the weak. Our Lord didn't hurt the weak. Our Lord has helped the weak. And so it can be also, none of us liveth to himself and no man dieth to himself. You know, the weak, as in the context of this passage. And look, we're not going around. Let us not go around in the church trying to figure out who's strong and who's weak. Okay, that's not the purpose of this. The purpose of this is that you and I might be instructed that where we're weak, the Lord might strengthen us, and where we may be blessed to be strong in some things, we might be a help to one another. Okay? And not misuse that. It's not a thing of boasting or pride, but it is a thing of knowledge and instruction by our Lord to be as our Lord. The weak can certainly despise the strong, and that's not a good thing either, is it? It's not. It's not. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live, verse 8, we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord, because he is the master, and he is the judge. He will recompense his children according to our obedience or our disobedience. We're not in jeopardy of hell or the lake of fire. But we do have before us, by the Lord's design, that there are rewards to be gained and rewards to be lost. That's just plain in the scripture. And the thing is, any reward that you and I would lose, we cannot lay off on our Lord, that he was deficient towards us in any way. Okay, we can't do that. Whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. And let us all note that, the strong and the weak, or we where we may be strong in one case and weak in another, let us understand that. Whether we be weak in one case or strong in another, let us understand that. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. And I got to remember that for me, and I got to remember that for you. Or brother, sister, so-and-so, you know, oh man, it's we're just really challenged. You know that? we're just challenged. Praise be to God. He's been merciful and gracious to us and saved us. Amen. Because we're just challenged. Now listen to this. Turn over here real quick. I just thought of this and had thought of it earlier, forgot it, and remembered it now. So I trust the Lord's in it. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 16. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death. Now, how are you going to come to that conclusion? Well, you're going to have to make a judgment about what God has said. God said whether this thing's sin or not. So you may see me sin and the Lord not take me out. You had to make a judgment about that based on what God says. But now, what will you do with it regarding me? Will you come and beat me up? You know, and I say that tongue in cheek. Will you come and use your knowledge in the scriptures to just roll me over? Or will you first pray for me and then in a right way, in a right spirit, seek to be a good witness of the right thing in me? We're to provoke one another to love and good works, right? Doesn't Hebrews 10 tell us that? Well, you can't provoke from a distance. There has to be communication to provoke. Okay? And so the thing is we can do a thing or not do a thing in the right spirit. You know, in the right way, and that Galatians chapter 6 talks to us about restoration of a brother. And that John again, It says here, if any man see a brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and shall give him life for him that sinneth not unto death. So there's prayer there. There's intercession that is there. There's a sin unto death, and I do not say he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. So we may see one another sin, and we can use the knowledge that we have to be a help, to intercede and pray for our brethren. We do make a judgment about it, but we're not the one that meets out condemnation to them. You see what I'm saying? We're not their judge. We're not one another's judge in that regards. We are the Lord's. Whether we live, whether we die, we are the Lord's. Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians 6:1-2. So, how do you know that a brother's overtaken in a fault? I can be overtaken in a fault and continue to go on and not admit to it, not confess it. But I need my brothers and sisters to help me to see that. Now, you can come to me and you can just pound me and grind me, or you can pray for me, and then you can look to come in the right spirit. Rebuke is rebuke, or reproof is reproof, but we can do it in a right way out of concern and love, or we can take knowledge and we can just grind one another. We can just pound one another down. And as pastor, if I have to come and show you the error of something, or bring a note of reproof or rebuke to you as a church member, a member of the church here, and that, you know, listen, I look to help you. I don't want to hurt anyone. But sometimes it's my responsibility to tell and remind you what the scripture says. Okay? And so we're just so full of extreme, aren't we? We sway back and forth. Judge not that you be not judged. The most quoted scripture in the Bible, but nobody goes ahead and quotes anything else. We do make judgments based on what God says. See, God says this, Jim, don't be a hypocrite. You obey it. Okay, first, I've got to obey it, right? And then God says this, and brother and sister, you know, I'm concerned about you. Look what our Lord says, and I'm troubled. Know that I'm praying for you. No, you give consideration to this too, okay? And that's hard. You know, that makes your hands all sweaty and makes you nervous and all that. But you know what? It's the Lord's given us one to another for that help and blessing too. It is that way. Back in verse 8 of Romans 14, for whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. The bottom line, however, is that we all stand and fall before our Lord and are accountable to Him for our behavior. So, I might say to my wife, well, you know, I'm concerned about so-and-so. Yeah. That it troubles me that they're going that way. Yeah. Yeah. You know, the Word of God says this, and they're getting away from that. What do we need to do? Well, we first need to pray for them. We need to pray. And then as the Lord leads in it or whatever, then maybe it would be that we would go and speak to them. But because, as I see it from the Word of God, and let's say that it's truly so, let's say that I see it right. It can always be that I might see it wrong. But as I see it right, and it is true that they are disobeying, am I to go over there and kick them back to righteousness, to the right way? No. No, that's not it. I'm not to persecute them. I'm not to shun them. And I'm not to mete out punishment upon them because of it, but I'm to be a help to them. Remember how far our Lord has brought us. And remember all of His attributes in that. And we are to be the same. And may the Lord help us in that. Well, the Lord is the one that metes out a reward, rebuke, and chastisement. Shall I hurt my brother or sister who is also God's child? For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Shall I hurt my brother or sister who is also God's child? And granted, it says in Proverbs, faithful are the wounds of a friend. So may the Lord help us in that balance. Verse 9, for to this end Christ both died and rose and revived. He lived again after having been dead, that he might be the Lord both of the dead and the living. Living this life, we are his. I am his and you are his. And dead from this life, or this side, if you will, we are with him. He is the end. We can get to thinking, maybe there at the Church of Rome, they got to thinking that they were the end all. No, it's our Lord is the end of the matter. He is the one that is the judge, and may we remember that. Verse number 10, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? And again, this judgment is the same as we saw in verses 3 and 4. Let me get things together here. In verse number 3, this word judging is to sentence. See, we don't do that. We don't punish. Okay? We don't punish as individual children of the Lord. We certainly don't punish about something optional. You like green pants and some shirt that maybe doesn't match it, and so I oppress you because of that? No, I'm not to oppress you because of that, right? But why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set at naught thy brother? See, to set at naught, to despise, same as we see in verse number 3, to shame or to consider one contemptible. No, not even with those pants. They are not contemptible. And I'm saying that as a joke, but you know, some of the stuff that we've all known to come up between brothers and sisters of Christ has been petty. Petty nothingness. Nothingness. And we take this blessing and relationship that we have in the Lord and we sacrifice that for just little old piddly nothing stuff? Please. Lord, help us. May indeed we grow up. We need to grow up. That's what we're called to. I need to get my notes lined up here. Why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we all shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And you know what? We'll give an account for how we reckon about sin in our own lives, how we reckon about sin and what God's word says in the lives of others. I mean, we look on. John said what he said in his epistle. If you see me sin a sin that's not unto death, pray for me. I mean, we look on, we see. And I'll give an account about how I did that. Or what I see and if I go and I tell everybody. You know, the Lord knows the motive about why I tell. Why am I telling? Am I telling to scoop? Just to have the latest juicy news? Or do I tell for the sake of that we would pray and we would help and we would share a concern? Fine lines there that are indeed there. For as it is written, verse 11, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me. Knees aren't going to bow to me. Knees aren't going to bow to you. Brother and sister, it's not going to happen. But every knee is going to bow to Christ. And so let us keep the order together in our hearts and minds, even about these things. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. The Lord is our judge, who will judge, as it says in the scripture, even our thoughts. even our inward judgments and considerations, even if I would see a brother or sister sin and I say, I don't care, and go on my merry way, I'll be judged for that. Here? We're not called to apathy. We're called to fellowship. As a matter of fact, in Corinthians, the word is communion. We're hooked together real big through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's serious business. And so I need to look on at things right. I need to react in a holy, in a spiritual way, but what the Word of God says, and know that I'll give an account. I'll give an account for myself, and I'll give an account for myself on how I treat you. I'll give an account for myself as your brother on how I think about you. How I think about you. Think about it. Verse number 13. Let us not therefore, coming back to the subject of the chapter, the main subject the main subject of the chapter, let us not therefore judge one another anymore to persecute or to sentence or to punish, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. That's the key. What's it say at the beginning? Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. Don't push him out. Don't push him away. But not to doubtful disputations. Don't make his situation worse. Don't make his situation worse by your knowledge or by your strength in the Word of God or your experience and service and walking with the Lord. Do not look to hurt those that are weak, but seek to help them. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. An offense, a stumbling block, a stone. It speaks about something that would cause them to stub themselves, a stub that's sticking out. You know, if you ever walked out through the woods and some of the trees, some of the roots are up on top of the ground, it's hard to walk around that. You can trip over that easy, especially if it's dark. And we're not to put those things out there. The Lord's not pleased when we show our ability in the scripture, say, and we use it in a bad way to throw that out there to cause them to trip up. We're to be an edifier. The Lord has brought us along, or brought one along that is knowledgeable and understanding and understands about application of the scripture. Occasion to fall. Again, a stumbling or an offense, making an offense out of something that shouldn't be an offense. You know, there's going to be, the Lord said, offenses are going to come. And we standing, claiming the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and He being the only way of salvation, and then going beyond to know and to claim that this is there's only one kind of the Lord Jesus Christ church, those are many offenses to this world. But you know what? We should not back off from one of them because it's the truth. It's the truth. It is His truth. But about these things that are preferential, these things that are optional, you know, just you're free. You have liberty. You know that it's okay. You know that it's not sinful. Well, I just shouldn't go ahead and force that upon the one that wants to eat vegetables, as it says here. Verse number 14, know this, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus, and so you can write it down, and it is written down for us, that there is nothing unclean of itself. There is nothing unclean of itself. That trees are trees. And medicine is medicine. Alcohol is alcohol. Pictures are pictures. Pictures are made of paper and ink. There's nothing of itself in this world. Relationships that the Lord's given. Every relationship that the Lord's given us that we have, all the relationships that we can have in our families, fathers and mothers to children, children to parents, children that go ahead and grow up, and children that are siblings, and children that grow up and then are married themselves and have children, and you got aunts and uncles and cousins, and you have brothers and sisters in Christ, and you have the world and our neighbors and all those relationships that the Lord's given us, all that in its right place. There's nothing of itself. What happens is when we take things and we misuse them. But talking back to stuff, there's nothing that's unclean. There is nothing that is unclean. It can all be used for a right way and a right purpose. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. There's nothing in this world, no thing in this world that is unclean, no object or matter that is unclean. The uncleanness comes from how man misuses it, and by such defiles himself. As our Lord said, remember what the Lord said in the Gospels, what comes out of his heart that is sinful towards God, it's by that he defiles himself, and he may use the stuff of this world. You can take paper and ink and make pornography, and that's wicked. But there's nothing wrong with paper. There's nothing wrong with ink. And you can take that same paper and that same ink and print the Word of God. Isn't that something? But it's man and how he uses it. That's where the wickedness is at. And pornography is wicked. You take that printed page now that a man has just, used his wickedness and wickedness device to print that. Now that thing is wicked. But there's not nothing wicked about paper and ink. Nothing wicked about the printing press. And so then in the context of this chapter, verse 15, but if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, okay, we're back to meat. Now walkest thou not charitably? If he be grieved, it causes him heaviness and sadness. It causes him to be in a strait. One brother says of this thing that is optional or is a preference, that bothers me. And you say, no, go ahead, it'll be okay. I know it's okay. Go ahead. But you press. It's no good. The Lord finds fault with that. How now walkest thou not charitably? Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. He's the child of God too. You've been given knowledge and strength about that it's okay to eat that meat. But they haven't. Don't beat them down with it. Don't assume that the peace that you have before God. And again, understand this thing about this meat is there's no wickedness involved with it before God. It's a thing of preference. There's yet vegetables to eat. It's not saying that there's nothing to eat. It would be one thing if there was only, if meat was the only thing to eat. But he is grieved with it. The stronger that understands that it's okay is to be charitable and say, okay, I'm not going to offend you in that. And understand, as it is always, there's our action and then there's whatever goes on inside. The Lord's watching what's going on inside too. We on the converse, we who are the meat eaters could say, okay, I'll back off. I won't press you with this, but in my heart, despise him. I need to say, no, they just don't understand it. Their well-being and their edification and their learning and their comfort is worth me passing on it. Lord, you've called me to be that. If thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably? Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Don't hurt him. Is it worth it? Let not your good be evil spoken of. Obedience in that which you know is not sinful before God, but yet is thought to be by your brother as a hard or a grief to him. You know it's okay. That's good. But they are troubled by it. So don't press them. Don't press them with, don't push them into a situation that they don't want to be in. Don't do that. Don't do that. It's not worth it for a child of God to be grieved that way by his brother or his sister. Listen, verse 17. This is the point. I think this tells us all about this chapter. It's the summary of it. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Now, the kingdom of God is some doctrines and some truths that our Lord has given us, but it's not meat and drink. Meat and drink's going to pass away. Meat and drink, there's options. Meat and drink is not worth a stumbling block or a grief or an offense to our brother and sister in Christ. It's not worth it. It's not worth it to trouble them that way. This is the key verse, I believe, of this passage, this chapter. We know that this passage does only apply to those things that are preference-wise or optional. However, there are things that are necessary in particular to the kingdom of God. And the Lord's not saying pass on them. I just don't believe. I believe that the church is universal. Well, you're wrong. You're wrong. I don't want you to be offended, but if you are offended, you're offended before God. But I don't want to eat that meat that's sacrificed to that idol. Okay. We won't have that when we have you over. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. The things of this world and the things of this life that may be an offense, that again are righteous before God, but still a weak brother or sister just cannot deal with it or handle it or are troubled by it, we need to let pass. We don't need to force it upon them. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's a key verse. There are things that are necessary in particular to the kingdom of God, and for those that we stand and we need to speak the truth in love, as it says in Ephesians. The things that our Lord commands us to follow, and some from which to abstain, we need to stand in those. Again, the introduction that I read earlier, you know, there are things that this passage can be misapplied to. This chapter deals with preference or optional things in our lives. It does not open the opportunity to willfully sin against our Lord, even if the child of God does not understand that a certain thing is sinful. We do indeed sin against our Lord ignorantly, but yet are guilty. That is the reason we need to study the Scriptures, learn what sin is, what righteousness is, so we will live a holy life while walking with our Savior. This chapter does not in any way make the doctrine and commandments of Scripture optional. This has to do with things preferential or optional in our lives, like meat and vegetables and a few other things. Verse 18, "For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men." You know, being merciful as our Lord is merciful, and said, "Oh, this offends you. This meat offends you. Okay, we won't serve it to you, and we won't go where they serve it. Where do you want to go?" That we are gracious, and you know what? The Lord is pleased for you to deny self for the sake of a brother or sister in Christ in that way, and approved of men, being gracious. And putting forth no stumbling block or offense in this regard, in these optional things of life, is a good help and a witness to our brethren. We don't put them in straight, even though we know that it would be okay before the Lord. Willing to deny self for the conscience of another. That's acceptable before God. And again, in these things, not in doctrinal and foundational things, but in these things are the optional things of life. They say, "I want to eat vegetables." So, okay, sounds good. You go out next time, you go out yourself, and you and your family, you go eat meat. And you're not bothered with that. But then when you have them over again and they just want vegetables, you say, "We'll just have vegetables." And the Lord is pleased with that, and we're a good witness of being charitable. He says, "Walkest thou not charitably?" in verse number 15. Verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. See, Jesus' blood is not adequate enough to forgive sinners their sins. Oh, yes, it is. And we stand, and may the Lord help us if it causes us to die. May we stand for that truth. That will be an offense. You see that? But if we're talking about meat or potatoes, don't make it. It's not necessary. It's not necessary. Let us follow after the things which make for peace. Because see, truly, if they see that the blood of Christ is sufficient to forgive sinners of their sins, doesn't that make for peace for them too? See that? Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, all things wherewith one may edify another. Edification, peace and edification. For meat, destroy not the work of God. He is your brother. Don't destroy him. Don't grieve him. Why do I have to give? Say that to the Lord. He gave. Why do I gotta buckle under? Why do I gotta be the one to give? Well, we've been called to it. For meat destroy not the work of God. Speaking of our brothers and sisters, all things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. The things of life, the stuff of life, there's nothing that's wicked in and of itself. It's our misuse of it. But if a man has an offense about a thing, and it is one of these optional optional things or preference things, we just need to let it pass. For meat, destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good, neither. It is good, verse 21, neither to eat flesh nor drink wine. I find that interesting that that's in there. It is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine, or anything whereby thy brother stumbleth. Now, we have the wisdom of the Scripture is we should abstain, and it's good for us to abstain from all things alcoholic. And we have in our church covenant that we agree to do so. And that's just wise. It's wise for our day, our culture, and the Word of God that has He's given it to us. But here, the apostle says, if there is a brother that in his day, and they drank wine, he recommended to Timothy to drink some wine for his stomach's sake. But if, let's take it from meat and let's just bring it over to wine. If that causes him, see, there's other things to drink. It's not saying there's nothing else to drink. If there were nothing else to drink, then it wouldn't be a preference. It's all there is to drink. Meat is not the only thing to eat. And so if there's an offense with the meat, let the meat pass. If there's an offense with the drink, let the drink pass. Let it pass. It's not worth the offense or the grief that it would cause the brother. Be large, be big, be charitable. It is good neither to eat flesh or to drink wine or anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or made weak. Again, in verse number 17, we saw that the kingdom of God is not these physical things. And we need to be interested in the spiritual and seek to encourage and build up and edify that. And if it be that we've got a pass on a good juicy steak, then let it be. Because our brother or sister is worth more than that. The optional things of life. Now, wait a minute. What about the Lord's Supper? Well, listen. Our Lord gave it plainly. It is the fruit of the vine that's used for the Lord's Supper, and we understand the Scriptures. It's wine. It's wine. The whole thing about the wine is the preservation aspect of it, but certainly it was wine. So is it talking about that? Is it talking about we ought to let that pass? No. But you want to use apple juice? Can't go there. It's got to be a grape. It can't be cranberry. Can't be peach. It's a grape. I'm offended. I'm sorry. It's not optional that it's a grape. It's not optional that it's unleavened bread. It's not optional. But whether we have meat and vegetables or vegetables, that is optional. See? It is good neither to eat flesh or drink wine or anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or made weak. Hast thou faith? Do you understand that the meat's okay to eat? Have it to thyself and before God. Don't gloat in it. Be thankful for it. The Lord's revealed it to you. He's freed you from that bondage of that thing. He's not talking about sin, the allowance of sin, is it? Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. Do we understand that the partaking of meat is not an offense to God? Then eat it and enjoy it before the Lord with thanksgiving. But if there's a brother that's offended by it, don't do it in his presence. Or even the heathen, possibly, if it causes a point of stumbling or contention. Our witness to the Lord and our witness to the truth and our pursuit of the kingdom is what's most important, not to satisfy our flesh. May we be charitable instead. Verse 23, he that doubteth is damned if he eat. He's convinced that meat's not good. It's not right for me to eat that. I just can't go there. He that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. He's convicted about it. The conscience, the mind, the heart is to be convinced in these things by the truth of the scriptures of our Lord, and not by our boldness, forwardness, and insistence that a thing go our way. That's where he's at. He believes it's sinful to eat that meat. We understand that it's not sinful to eat that meat. There's no thing that's sinful in and of itself. There's that, and next time we'll take a look at it, and this kind of leads us into it, and we'll, Lord willing, we'll go ahead and take a look at it. You go down to the shambles and you buy some meat and you fix it up and you have it with supper and we thank God for it, and there it is. It's been sacrificed to idols, but we know that they're not gods. It's been sacrificed to devils, but we know that it's just meat. I mean, if they didn't poison it, it's okay to eat. God caused the cow to grow. And in their heathen way, they didn't burn it up, you know. They didn't burn up the meat, so it's fit to eat. And so we eat it, and we thank God for it. He's the provider of it. But then if we bring it home, we eat it, and we say, this sacrifice to Jupiter, I bet it'll be good. We got a problem with God then, don't we? We revel in disobedience or wickedness. Or we come and we have a visitor, and we say, where'd you get that meat? Oh, we got it down at the shambles. Got it down there where they sell off what they sacrifice in the temples. I can't eat that. Oh, come on. Really? Please. Can't you get over it? Don't go there. It's okay, honey. Put it up and bring out the mashed potatoes. Hopefully it's a big bowl of mashed potatoes. You see? Because it's not worth it to... It's not worth it to labor them and load them and grieve them with that. Let's deny ourselves as Christ denied himself for their sake. And then maybe we can show them and be a witness to them. Because, see, we cannot convince them. He that doubteth is damned if he eat. He's got that conviction. He's got that conviction or that vow that he has taken, maybe. Because he eateth not of faith. He doesn't have the faith in the Lord that it's okay. And to him, it's sin. And these are things that it takes maturity in the Lord to understand. It does. I mean, this is one of those things that's moving on. That it is really that way. That's what the Word of God is telling us. But see, his conscience, his mind, his heart cannot be convinced by us, but only by the Word of God. And we should take that Word of God and use it carefully to a witness, an example, and the carrying of the truth that maybe they might understand, but not take them and beat them and squeeze them with it. And I say that figuratively. The conscience, the mind, and the heart is to be convinced by these things, in these things, by the truth of the Scriptures of our Lord, and not by our boldness towards them. It'll be okay. Our forwardness. Go ahead and put it on the table, honey. They'll get over it. Just don't get any of it. And while we're cutting it up and eating it up ourselves, or our insistence that a thing go our way, may we be charitable. So we look at this chapter, and evidently the church at Rome had some uncharitableness in this regard at hand. Some that just couldn't go there. Others that said, well, we found out there's only one God. All this other is just a bunch of fake. It's nothing. And so that meat's okay. It's been provided for by the Lord like everything else. And so there's those things at hand. Evidently in the church at Rome, the apostle writes and deals with them. There is this judging and this thing that's going on. And again, we do make judgments, but it's not ours to mete out the punishment as individuals. Sometimes a church has to, by removing fellowship, and that's the extent of it. But we're not to be that way individually, and we're to be to seek to be an edifier of the good things of Christ. May the Lord help us. Application of the Scriptures. You know what? This chapter is here for a reason. And we've got it. May the Lord help us to understand it and apply it.